All right, well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you guys were able to hear some of the wonderful music we had, and also the little short message that Pastor Emily and myself had for you guys. And, you know, as troubling as concerned as we all are, I hope today that the gospel message that we bring will give you guys some encouragement. And over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I just felt that God was leading me to do that because I wanted to start preaching in the book of Acts. And you can't talk about the book of Acts without talking about the Holy Spirit, because that is where the Holy Spirit came down upon us. It's the beginning also of the church as we know it. And we also see that this is where we see the Acts of the Apostles, who are serving and doing ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me pray for us today. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord. And in this just extraordinary time that we're going through, Lord, I pray for each and every individual, Lord, that you bring them comfort and peace. And although we are not able to gather together, Lord, we are together in spirit and heart, Lord Jesus. We are a united body. And so we just pray, Lord, for all those out there, Lord, we pray that you would use this message, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, we are now going to be looking at the book of Acts. And the book of Acts was written by Luke, and Luke was a doctor, and he actually wrote two books that we know of. They talk about maybe a third or how it was broken down, but we have the Gospel of Luke, and then we have the book of Acts. And being a doctor, he was very methodical, meticulous in how he talked about all that Jesus did. And he talks about the Holy Spirit coming, and he also talks about this being the beginning of the church. And so today we're going to be talking about Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. So let me read that first for you guys. And it says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and all Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And that's such an exciting intro to the book of Acts, right? It kind of tells us the whole thing. It talks about what Jesus did formerly. It talks about a command. And then there's encouragement as well. And so today, this sermon is called Jesus Beginning, or Jesus Began. And I think it's pretty interesting that we here at the church are beginning something new. We're doing church online, which is something different for us. And there's three things that I'll be talking about today that are so real for us today as they were in the time of Acts when the church began. And the first thing that we see here is that Jesus did some things and he taught some things. And when we talk about what he did, he was serving. Some of the things that he did, or the ways that he served, is this. He called his first disciples and he discipled them, right? This is where that concept of discipleship comes from. It's one of the first things that Jesus did when he started his ministry when he was 30 years old. He did many healings that we see, again, serving people in their most needy times. He was there for them, serving them. We even hear that Jesus raised the dead. We see this in Luke 7, verses 11 through 15. "Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And he approached the town. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. So again, Jesus is doing these amazing things to start off, to begin his ministry. We also see another miracle where Jesus calmed a storm. So these are so many different ways that Jesus served others. And these are those things that he did as he began his ministry. I also mentioned that he taught things. We see that God taught about the word of God and the importance of it. And he also taught about what the kingdom of heaven was. And we'll see that here in a few moments, that there was some confusion. Not everybody understood what the kingdom of God was. And so Jesus started teaching them. And then finally, we see that Jesus gave a command. He said, "Do not leave, but wait." And I started thinking about this. It brought me back to the very first youth ministry I was part of. And again, beginning something, a ministry, I went through those same things. I had to do some things. You're going out and you're recruiting individuals. You're looking for a curriculum. You're doing things. And then there was a season of having to teach some. I had to train volunteers and mentors. I had to teach leaders how to teach different curriculum. So I had that teaching experience as well. And there was also some commands, unfortunately. We were working with a lot of kids that were in lockdown facilities. And so there were some rules like, you're commanded or told not to bring your belongings into these facilities, or you're told that you have to check in and show your ID. And there was significance to this. And just like Jesus, whenever we're beginning something or God wants to begin something in our lives, there's typically some doing and there's some teaching. But what's interesting in the book of Acts, through those verses 1 through 11, as Jesus was doing and he was teaching, we also see that the disciples, they started to ask questions. They asked a question and then Jesus responded. And as I mentioned earlier about the kingdom of God, it was interesting because the question they were wondering about, the question they asked was, you know, "Jesus, when is it that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And I get it. You know, that was probably a really, you know, logical question that they were asking. They were, wondering what all Jesus's plans were and things like that. So this is something they asked. But when you dig in to this passage, what you find out is that there were some selfish motivations behind this question, because they were asking because they believed that Jesus and restoring the kingdom meant that the kingdom like it was in David's time is what they were going to experience. So that was earthly wealth and military power, right? So this was a very worldly view of the kingdom. And so their motivations were wrong, and this is what they were asking about. And what they didn't understand is that the kingdom that Jesus was talking about was a spiritual kingdom, first established in people's hearts and the lives of believers. Luke 17, verses 20 through 21 says this. It says, "Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's already here. It's happening now.'" And unfortunately, sometimes when people ask selfish questions, there's a rebuke, right? There's a strong response, and Jesus had one. In verse 7 of Acts 1, he said this. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." So in many ways, he was saying, you know what, guys, you're on a need-to-know basis, and honestly, you don't need to know, right? I already gave you a command. Just go and do that. But as a loving God, as Jesus was, with that rebuke, there was also a reminder. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What's so incredible is that this is the last recorded statement of Jesus Christ on earth. Therefore, it's final, it's authoritative, and it's of utmost importance. Jesus is telling him what he wants all of us to do. It wasn't just the disciples. And it's also really important, and if you guys have some old maps of Israel, I encourage you to take a look, or look at Judea, Samaria, and take a look, and then this will make more sense, that when he talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all ends of the earth, Jerusalem, that's where this was happening, right? This is where the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And so for us, this is where we are. This is our everyday lives. These are our homes, right? And then Judea, this is the broader area of where Jerusalem was. So it's taking one step out. It might be the city that you live in. And then it's interesting that the next area that's talked about is Samaria. And this is kind of a next door neighbor. And if you guys remember anything about the Good Samaritan, any stories about Samaria, what we'll find out is that basically the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not get along at all. In many cases, the Jews viewed Samaritans as half-breeds. And so the fact that Jesus is not only saying, go to your neighbor, but go to people that you probably don't like, it's so powerful. And it's a reminder to us that when we're sharing the gospel message, right, we can't just keep that at home to ourselves, to our immediate family, our immediate friends. We need to take it out to other people, maybe even people that we don't normally get along with. And then Jesus takes it another notch and kicks it out even further, and he says, to the ends of the earth. So that means everywhere. We need to take the gospel message everywhere we go. And so Jesus has given us this incredible command, a command that he gave originally to the disciples. And then, of course, something crazy happens next. Jesus departs, right? And so I'm sure the disciples were like, whoa, what the heck is going on here, right? You give us this incredible teaching. You've been discipling us. And now you're just leaving? And you're leaving in this crazy, you're ascending in this miraculous way. And basically, Jesus is doing this like many teachers that teach us. And he's saying, you know what? I gave you instruction. Now you have to do what I've told you to do. Go do it. But like so many of us, whether we experience something, one of those, I would say, spiritual mountaintop moments, right? Or even if we get really afraid and we're like, where are you, God? What happens is we just stare and we say, whoa, that was so powerful and amazing. Or maybe we stare out and we say, well, what do we do now? You're not here anymore. Who's going to guide us and help us? And you see that the disciples, like we many times, were focused on the wrong thing, right? We're focused on what's happening in the immediate, where Jesus wanted the disciples to focus on the goal, on the command to go share the gospel message. And Jesus being Jesus, he allowed another reminder to take place. And so there were some angels that appeared to disciples, and they said, you know, why do you keep staring in the sky looking for this Jesus? Don't you know he's going to come back the same way that he left? And that should be a reminder to us that we shouldn't get so caught up in all the details and all the things that are going on. We have to be focused on what God has called us to do, to go out to our neighbors, to others, to all ends of the earth and share the gospel message. And it is such a blessing that we have such an incredible God that would remind us. And even though sometimes that might come with a gentle rebuke, right? Sometimes something might happen. We might not want to hear it. Might be a tough pill to swallow. But you know what? Sometimes it helps us get refocused on the things of God, the things that are most important. And so as we're thinking about this, I want you guys to think about God doing a new thing in your life. We spent the first couple of weeks of this year talking about heavenly habits and divine disciplines, right? To kind of prepare us for God to do something new. And God is doing something new in your life, and he's doing something new in this church. And right now, we are in the middle of something new happening. But as that's happening, we have to remember that there are some things we have to learn, some things either we're going to be taught or things that we have to teach others. And then God's also going to call us to do some things. Might be some things that we need to do for Him, and it might be some things that we have to do for others. And it's normal. It is an absolutely regular thing to start asking some questions, to say, you know, how are we going to do this? Or I don't get it. We don't have this and that. And what are we going to do? That is a normal thing. But we need to check our heart condition in that. Are we asking questions because we're not trusting God? Are we asking questions because of selfish motivations? Because we want to be in control? We have to be thinking about that, because it's God who's in control, and He's given us that command. And then the final thing, and how we apply this to our lives, is that at some point, we have to switch our focus. It's all right to sit and take some time and say, God, you know, it's so incredible what you've done in my life. I'm so appreciative of this. But then you need to get down to the work that God's called you to. We can't just be sitting around and thinking about the gospel. We need to be going out and living the gospel. Amen. Today's sermon is a little bit shorter. We're kind of playing around with how long we want things to be here. But, you know, the main encouragement is we want you guys to be listening. That's the most important thing. So I want to close here with some prayer. And again, I want you to tune in. And we're hoping, you know, maybe we can do some conference call, prayer time, conference call, Bible studies. I don't know. There's so many different options out there. So please be praying for us leaders as well, that the Holy Spirit would guide us on what exactly He would have us do. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, as we are talking about a beginning a new thing, Lord, that we would be focused on what You're teaching us, what You're commanding us to do, Lord Jesus, and that we'd be focused on the right things. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would be taking this message today, Lord, and using it, Lord, to go to our neighbors, to go to Samaria, Lord, to people that maybe, Lord, it's just hard to get along with, and ultimately to the ends of the earth, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunities You've blessed us with, Lord. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to guide us in all things. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. Well, we love you guys. Hopefully this will be posted here later this evening, and we will see you guys next week. Amen.